The two on the Emmaus Road were surprised by joy. And as has been already said, they were, the D word, they were defeated. All their hopes, aspirations, all the warmth, the wonder, taken away by the system, the man, the government, the Romans, the army. It doesn't really matter who took it, it had gone. But the end of the story we've seen, particularly with a lovely Welsh accent, I'm so glad we had subtitles, I wouldn't have been able to understand it otherwise. The end of the story, they were exploding in warmth and wonder, realizing the stranger who they'd been sharing their troubles with was Jesus all along. And they only recognized him at the end. It's hard to get around this, because he did this a few times, didn't he? He appeared and they didn't recognize him until the crunch time. And I think if one of our relatives came back, we wouldn't really expect it. We might see Ernie and see our father or whatever, but actually we wouldn't expect it. And it might be our expectations are so ingrained in us that we wouldn't see the obvious when it comes in front of us. But he took that bread and he broke it, and that must have sparked a memory of that Last Supper. And they thought, I think we know him. They were surprised by joy. When Christ appeared to Mary Magdalene in the garden, it wasn't just an appearance, it was an intimate appearance. He called her by name. When Christ appeared to the disciples and poor old doubting Thomas, and I agree with Marion, I actually feel, you know, like a little bit of tangible evidence, you know, before I believe. Yet, you know, here we are 2,000 years later, and all we have, we are blessed with the Bible, with those witness statements. And it's the equivalent of, and Hillary would know this, and Sean, a load of 991s. 991 for the uninitiated is the witness statement number. So when you do a witness statement, it's a form 991 in the criminal justice system. And it's a collection of witness statements. It's evidence put before us as absolute stone bonkers, as we'd say in the police. It was powerful. He gave them the Spirit. And we can take the Spirit from the words that were spoken then. The events that happened then, the Spirit is alive. When he appeared at on the shores of Lake Galilee and cooked them that fish for breakfast, it was slightly odd but mysterious, but very solemn and very special. The expression, surprised by joy, is actually used by C.S. Lewis as his autobiography. I don't know if any of you have read it. Surprised by joy. He says, "You must picture me alone in my room, night after night, feeling whenever my mind lifted, even from a second from my work, the steady, unrelenting approach of him whom I so earnestly desired not to meet." He was an atheist. He was someone who disbelieved in God and went out of his way to avoid God. But as he said, God was after him. And gradually he came to admit that God might be God, and knelt and prayed. He said that perhaps that night he was the most dejected and reluctant convert in all England. He began to attend church, and he started to read the Bible, specifically the Gospels. And what frightened him is they started making sense to him. Lewis had acknowledged God. Now God was after him to acknowledge his son. The subject was on Lewis's mind constantly. And in his book, Surprised by Joy, Lewis related his final step into real joy. "I know very well when, but hardly how, the final step was taken. I was driven to Whipsnade Zoo one sunny morning. When I set out, I did not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And when I reached the zoo, I did." The journey to Whipsnade Zoo was Lewis's Emmaus Road. It tells us that Emmaus Road experiences still happen in our day. And it can happen to us, and it can happen to anybody who lives around us. The writer Terry Lindwall explains Lewis's conversion like this. C.S. Lewis was drawn into the kingdom of God by joy. By a taste of this blessed fruit and divine gift, joy was the divine carrot that persuaded such a self-proclaimed donkey as Lewis to plod down the road to Jerusalem. It was the soft, disturbing kiss of God that unmade all of Lewis's world. Joy compelled Lewis towards the resurrection laughter of Easter. Now we must pray that we're all on that road. On that road to Emmaus. The laughter of Easter. The joy. Sometimes I feel that we're a little bit lackluster in our joy. But what an event. What an event. We don't know what joyful surprises Jesus has in store for us. But we can expect them. We can expect them. And we can only expect them if we're on the way. Because the first followers of Jesus weren't called Christians. That didn't become a lot later, till much later. They were the people of the way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And if you're on the way, regardless whether you've just set off or you've been on it for yonks, you're on a journey. But if you're in the way of Jesus, then you travel, your behaviour will be affected by him. And I can give witness to that. I'm a very different person I was to 30-odd years ago when Jesus actually met me and, rather like Lewis, sandbagged me into being a Christian. I was a very reluctant convert, and I think I've changed. Some might disagree. I know I still leave things lying around the house and get nagged terribly, but that's beside the point. Going back to the two travellers on the way, they were talking with each other, going through what had happened, and that's very natural, because when something desperate, awesome, amazing, bad, good happens, it's like this terrible thing that's happened in Germany just yesterday when this man drove a vehicle into people. People will be talking about it. And I saw a picture on the news of the events, and there were police on the streets and people were standing around in little clusters, obviously talking about what had happened. People had died and everyone was questioning what happened. And this was what they were doing. They were going through it again and again. Where did we go wrong? What happened? And people of the way are encouraged to talk together, to share their trials, their successes, their failures, to share together so they can minister to each other. Secondly, they welcome a stranger to come and walk with them. It's worth remembering that in election time, there's so much shameful talk about excluding people who aren't like us. The people of the way open their hearts and minds to people they don't know, or they should do. Thirdly, two men on this road shared the story with a stranger. And that's something we should be doing. Anybody on the way should be sharing the story of Jesus with strangers. But do we? Do we come on a Sunday and we're fervent Christians on a Sunday and we sit there all week not really doing much? Fourth, they listened to the stranger when he gave them a different view on the story. And he turned it round and showed them a different way to look at it. They listened. Now, there are those of us who get accused of not being brilliant listeners. Sometimes it could be our hearing, but sometimes it's the listening. But we should be listening. We should be open to listen and learn from others, whoever they are. And fifthly, they invited their companion to stay with them. Hospitality is a key element of the way. Their table is always set for a guest. They were deeply unhappy. They'd been bereaved in the most terrible circumstances, but they kept journeying. They kept walking, embraced a stranger, opened themselves to new ways of thinking, offered their food and their home. They did this because they were people of the way. And if you're on the way, then you're likely to be surprised by joy. And sure enough, they were. So joy comes through sadness. Joy comes through those who walk the way of Jesus. Terry Linville writes of C.S. Lewis again. Joy compelled Lewis towards the resurrection laughter of Easter. Yet it was a path that had to pass through Good Friday. As Lewis grew in his faith, there would be no detour around the tears and tribulations of life, of being stomped on, pressed down, crushed like grapes, so the sweet wine of intoxicating laughter could be poured out on dry, thirsty souls. So let us keep to the way of Jesus, the way many of us have been on for years, the way that perhaps we stray from now and again. Let today's stories, our stories, encourage us to live as people of the way, and let us be thrilled by the expectation that in doing this, we almost certainly will find Jesus en route, surprising us with joy. The traffic light turned to amber just in front of the man. He did the right thing, slowing and stopping at the white line, just in time for the little green man to come on and the pedestrians to cross. The lady behind was furious. Apart from anything else, she'd been on the phone and she dropped it, and the makeup which had been on her lap, which she was doing on the way to walk, also slipped down into the footwell of the car. She sounded her horn, gesticulating using one or two fingers in various upwards and downwards movement, and in the confines of her own car, was swearing quite nastily. She was surprised when she got a tap on the window. She looked up to see a police officer standing there. Almost without saying very much, before she knew what had happened, she was in the back of the police car wearing a set of handcuffs. She was back to the police station and locked in a holding cell while they made various inquiries. After about three quarters of an hour, she was let out, brought back to the front desk, where the sergeant passed across her personal property, which had been taken from her when she was searched, and she was told, "The car is yours, madam." However, the officer, on making the arrest, saw the bumper sticker on the back saying, "I'm on my way to Sunday school," and the beautifully chromed fish with "I am a Christian" on board, and came to the natural conclusion that the car was stolen. It's like Candid Camera being a Christian. Everybody's watching us.